Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
The kind of relationship God wants to have with us is the one whereby we just open our hearts to Him and let Him kind of guide us and direct us. In fact, I think He wants to be even more involved in our lives than, can we be honest, than we really oftentimes don't want Him to. Because sometimes when He starts dealing in our lives, change is on the way. And not everybody likes change. But last week we talked about what happens at those changing points when the Holy Spirit does something pretty cool in your life and pretty awesome, and as a result of that, change does take place, and it's always good. When God does things, He does them in a good way, even when bad things happen in our life. Now, I'm not saying God does bad things to you so you can learn these lessons, but I believe the bad things that do happen to us, God allows them. And that right there, immediately, I know the first thought that hit your mind, you mean God allowed that to happen to me? Yeah, He did. Sometimes because He respects your will, and so sometimes your choices bring about issues, but sometimes life just does not like you, and it throws things at you, and as a result of that, God allows it. But here's the comforting note. If it's happening in your life and it's pretty tough for you to go through, note that God has allowed it, but He also tempers it. He will not allow you to endure or go through anything that is so hard for you that you're going to fail because of that. He allows you to go through things like that so He can teach you, He can comfort you, He can love you, He can cradle you, He can carry you through each one of those issues until you're victorious on the other side. God never leaves us unvictorious. Amen? Now, I might not be victorious, but He is always victorious in me, and I like that. I want you to turn to the to 2 Corinthians this morning. Only one person caught that. Peggy was on the ball there and caught that. And I'm not going to explain it. Ask Peggy after church what that was all about. But in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I want to read a portion of Scripture, a very famous portion of Scripture, probably memorized by many of you who have read through this book, got the comfort out of it, got the teaching that is in there, and the confirmation. That is another principle that I should probably preach a sermon on, and that is confirmation, God confirming things in your life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say that? How many of you have been in question mode, not knowing which direction to go, and then suddenly it just dawns on you, this is the path I should go? Folks, it didn't just dawn on you. If you're in touch with Jesus Christ, it's happening to you because the Lord is directing some things, and maybe even directing you to places where you can use your power of choice to make good decisions for your life. But in this chapter, I want to begin reading in the 17th verse, and I'm going to read to the end of the chapter, and then I'd like to share some pretty cool things, because this is a very, very powerful section of Scripture. And you'll see how this dovetails with last week's message. You're also going to see how it dovetails with the communion we shared this morning at the beginning of the service, and it may explain why we did it at the beginning of the service. When I start reading this, you'll probably clue in right away how this service has been confirmed in your life in some way. And by the way, everybody's going to be affected some way or another, and I'm praying that it'll be a very positive thing this morning. Amen? Verse 17, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, remember this verse? He is a new creature. Other translations write it as he is a new creation, which is probably a little more accurate translation of the ancient manuscripts. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. Old things, are you with me? Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled, there's a word we've already used, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to witness, in King James, to witness that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That sounds kind of convoluted. It's not an easy read. You can read it or stumble across it like I do, and slowly begin to get the picture that is being portrayed there. There's a dual message actually being given, and part of it is the message of the gospel and what it actually does in a person's life, but also he's referring to his own personal ministry of reconciliation and his own personal ministry to lead people to a relationship where God is able to forgive them of their sins, and the status they have after their sins have been forgiven is one of being right with God. The relationship's right. Have you ever had an enemy or someone who didn't like you or some friend that suddenly doesn't like you anymore, and you go to that person or you go to deal with that issue and you talk with that person and you work it out and you figure out, well, I was a little at fault here, I'm sorry, and you were a little fault here, and you reconcile the issue. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. When we were in our sins, when we were not a new creation, we were unreconciled to God. The relationship was broken. Am I making sense? You've had relationships broken, haven't you? You've had relationships where you thought things were well, and then something happens that causes that relationship to be in stress or broken. Every one of us have experienced that. And you've experienced all kinds of emotions. Rejection and you know, and your self-esteem hits the carpet, and all kinds of things happen to you inwardly and emotionally, and you have a real difficult time trying to make your way through that issue until somehow you get together and work it out. Now, let me tell you, on the spiritual level, that happens also. There have been times you've been broken, been at unease, the relationship strained with the Lord. And you'll be in upheaval and in turmoil, and you'll be going from day to day with your mind, can't sleep at night, you're sweating so bad, your sheets are sticking to you, you're tossing and turning, next thing you know, you're wrapped up in those sheets, and you're begging to get out from other... I'm sorry, that was just me the other night. I'm bad memory there, I'm sorry about that. But anyway... And you know what I'm talking about. Your spirit is in turmoil. And then suddenly the Lord begins to speak to you with a still small voice. And he begins to settle your spirit. Is anybody identifying with this? And as your spirit settles, all things eventually settle to that place where all is well. Amen? God is in the ministry of reconciliation. He sent his son to do that. And through his son and his son's actions at the cross, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, what Jesus Christ did for us made it possible for God to forgive us and not impute our sins to us anymore. So that through Christ, very, very awesome principle here, that through Christ, so our acceptance of Christ, our faith in Christ, our believing that what Christ said he would do, he can do, that I can become a brand new creation through what he did at Calvary. This is a basic gospel message. This is the one message that's been preached for over 2,000 years. It's the message that you received and that we celebrated in receiving communion this morning. Those of you that sit here know what I'm talking about when I say you're a brand new creature or a brand new creation. You say, Pastor, yeah, I know exactly. And some of you have had different kinds of experiences, and we've got the, you know, the crazies that finally came into the kingdom of God and got their lives right, and the others that went to church their whole life, and the mom and dad took them to church, and finally one day they just came to the place where they made the mental choice, the choice to say, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ, and at that moment they became a new creation. Life began to change, sometimes more rapidly than others. So let's be honest, when you're a crazy, you need some radical change really fast, amen? Anybody with me? Anybody else in the boat, or am I rowing by myself here this morning? You need some things to happen fast in your life. So that creation seems to be such a dramatic change, just a complete turnaround and going the other direction, observable and knowable and recognizable by everybody that ever knew you before this happened to you, that when this does happen to you and you become a new creation, they can visibly see it because it happened in an instant. And yet there are others who have been in church their whole lives, families have been generations going to church, and yet every one of them, and including yourselves, those of you that identify with this kind of experience, that just came to that place where one day you thought it was you thinking about it, but you said, hey, I don't want to live this way anymore. I'm gonna follow Jesus Christ. And yet the same kind of change, not necessarily as rapidly, sometimes a little more progressively. I mean, you're born again. Jesus comes, you're gone. You're going to heaven. But the changes may not be as rapid as a crazy person needs it. You know what I'm saying? And so this particular verse, and I want to try to parse it for you in just a little bit, emphasizes something I want to get concrete in your hearts. Oh, I've been serving the Lord 50 years. I don't care. I've been serving Him 40 years. It doesn't matter. I've been serving Him for a year. How long you've been serving the Lord doesn't make any difference. How much wisdom you have gained and how much knowledge you have of the Bible and of God doesn't make any difference. This is a brand new day. How are you going to fulfill that in this day? How am I going to live that out in this day? Last week I was talking about the changing points in our lives, and that if we honor Jesus Christ, God will honor us and bless us. And this is really kind of the root of that. Last week's message. In fact, I should have preached this one before I preached last week's, but you're getting last week's already, and I want to dovetail into that this morning, because this whole chapter is Paul concerned preaching to a church that's in big trouble. The Corinthian church was a church of fanatics. You know, we might be called a fanatic because people just start popping off and giving prophecies, and somebody will speak in tongues or some kind of crazy wild thing, and somebody walks in is not used to this church would say, wow, those people are kind of out of order. They're nuts, you know. And you'd be right. But, I mean, that doesn't matter to the rest of us because we know what the Holy Spirit's doing, and it's a blessing to us, and God is speaking to us through an individual, and all those things are happening. But what you need to have concreted in your heart is the foundational basis of that. And I don't care if you've been a Christian speaking in tongues for 90 years. It doesn't make a difference. Today is the day that you're going to live, and you need to walk out this day in honor. You need to live new today, just like you lived new the day you found Christ. When things began to change, we should be able to, if we had a videotape of your life, we should be able to see at the beginning the masterful changes that happened in your life. And believe me, it was masterful. When God started changing your life and that new creation was taking place in your life, trust me, it was phenomenal. In fact, as you think back on it, you remember how the turmoil you went through when you first got Christian, became a Christian, because you thought you were supposed to live your life like you were still living it. But you had turmoil in your heart because each time you went to do some of the things you used to do, you had turmoil in your heart, and you just felt like you were going through the grist mill and bad. There's nothing good about being a Christian. This is tough being a Christian. I don't like these feelings. But as you continue to stumble through those early days and you settle down and you were going to the house of God and you were drinking in the Word of God and your life was taking on new meaning and you began to get the truth of God in your heart, you began to walk differently, and that new creation began to become visible in your life and in your heart and to other people. And so being a new creation is a great, wonderful thing that God does for us. But along with that comes some pretty interesting responsibilities. If you're a new creation, then you need to live new every day. Now, you've got to get to the place as a Christian that when you're going through bad things, and I do it myself, I go through bad things. Everything I go through, this church hears about. Aren't you tired of hearing about my troubles and my woes? But I go through things just like you go through things. Oh, by the way, Jesus went through things just like you went through things. And the interesting thing about it is that God, in this new creation thing that he's doing, wants us to live new, not the way we used to live. We used to live destructively. We used to live in bad choices and the consequences that came with that. And that's the way we used to live. That's the old ways. You can't live the old days and be a new creation. Are you listening to me? You need to live new every day. And with that in mind and with that in your understanding, you need to get over the old days. You need to get over the old ways. You need to let the past be the past and live new every single day. Am I making sense to you? And I think this is what Paul's trying to get at. He's wanting to build a foundation for these people because this is a tough church. It's the kind of church that I personally don't want to be the pastor of. Because these people were wild. I mean, they were well involved in the moving of the Holy Spirit. The problem was, what they thought was the moving of the Holy Spirit was not the moving of the Holy Spirit. It was them and their enthusiasm and their over-enthusiasm that just abused what God was doing in their midst. Now, let me ask you something. If you take a deck of cards and you just shuffle them like that, how many of you can just reach in the deck, not looking, and pull out the cards in order? Ace, deuce, tres, cuatro, cinco. No, that's not right. That's not right. How many of you can do that? It's impossible. Now think about this church. They're like a shuffled deck of cards. These people are going every direction. When they come to the house of God, it's such chaos in the name of Jesus that if a stranger walked in, they would certify just about everybody in the church. That's how bad it was. Have you ever been to a church like that? I wish our church would get to be a little more like that. You know, some of you need to run the aisles now and then and go screeching with your hands in the air or some kind of crazy thing to let us know that you're alive and things are happening. You know what I'm saying? We're really, frankly, can I be honest? Frankly, we're a very conservative Pentecostal church in comparison. And I was raised in a non-conservative Pentecostal church where There were similar things happening there, not the negative side, but I mean, very good stuff. I mean, people, when they started, the Spirit would come upon them. There's no telling what was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And that was just me. The rest of the church, they were about the same way, and sometimes it got pretty chaotic. Fortunately, we had a pastor that knew how to handle cats in a wheelbarrow, you know? And so she was brilliant, that whole thing was going on in the church, but the big problem, the big indictment, the big thing that Paul talks about with this church, and the reason that he's saying the things that I might get to in a second, the reason he's addressing these things is because immorality was going on at the same time they were claiming that the Holy Spirit was moving on them. Supposedly Holy Ghost-filled people were living in immorality. Now, I'm not no self-righteous guy that, I'm no prude, folks, you know, let's be straight. But I am smart enough to know that you can't live immorally and be a new creation. You can't do it. That's why he says the old things pass away. The old things pass away and they are replaced. Now, this is very important. Those of you that may be a young Christian this morning, and you're struggling with some of these decisions and these things and these changes that are happening in your life, and you don't know how to reconcile them with the things that are going on in you emotionally as you react to what God is doing in you spiritually, you need to understand something. God primarily moves through your spirit, but he can affect your soul. And he can minister to you through your soul as well. But we don't have Jesus Christ here in the flesh to direct us. And so he sends his Holy Spirit to minister to us. And so he moves on our spirit and he motivates us and he inspires us and he educates us in the things of God so that we can live new every day. Now, let's be honest. How do you live new every day? I mean, I'm all excited. This is all brand new today. But how do you keep that pace up? How do you keep all that thing happening? You can't. You have to rely upon the Holy Spirit to lead you into newness every day. When you wake up, and I don't know how you do your devotions and that kind of thing. I'm certain that every one of you have devotions of some kind. I don't know how you, if you do it first thing in the morning, read your word a little bit and pray a little bit. I don't know how you do your devotions, but I'm pretty confident that God educates you during those moments of what the day is going to hold. If you start early, God will talk to you about your day. And you can begin to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that day, because sometimes you're able to anticipate some things not going well on the job or whatever. You can anticipate that, and you can prepare for that, but it really takes the Holy Spirit, it really takes God to help you live new through this day. And I want to talk about that. That's an honorable thing. It honors God when you live like a new creation every day. When you refuse to go back to the old ways. And is that not your great temptation? I mean, you may have conquered many issues in your life as far as the old ways are concerned, but the old ways still whisper. They're still like the mythological sirens that are on the beach singing out to Ulysses to come and be one of the shipwrecks and be killed. You know the story of mythology, don't you? The sirens sing, sin, your old ways. I don't care if you've been a Christian 50 years, the sirens still call to you. The old ways still call to you. You know, you didn't have to go through this kind of trouble in those days. We didn't have to worry about church. We didn't have to worry about what people said. We didn't have to worry about God, what he cared. We could just do whatever we wanted. How many of you do know what I'm talking about? They still whisper at you. And every once in a while, that temptation becomes something set right before you. I mean, I can tell you stories, but you don't need to know my stories. You get your own. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. What is the Christian struggle? It is not in how to get to heaven. We know that now. We're new creations. We're new people. Every day is new in Christ. And by the way, living new, that brings great honor to God. God is so excited. He's so thrilled with that he does not impute to you the consequences of your trespasses. He does not give to you the judgment you deserve for the way you've been living. When you're a new creation, those things are forgiven. Now, I know you old Christians are way ahead of me on some of this, but slow down. There's others that may want to ride along on the boat with me, okay? And so when that new creation thing is happening, it honors God, and his response to us is, think about this. God in heaven, who, by the way, is real. If you can't be born again not knowing he's real. The God of heaven is able, based on what Christ did, what he already accomplished. He died, and he rose again. The entire hope of Christianity is right there in that sentence. We die to ourselves, and we're now a new creation, and now we've been resurrected to life in Jesus Christ. We now walk immortal in Christ. We're immortal anyway, whether you know it or not. You'll live forever. Every human being that makes it to be a human being will live forever. It just depends on where you're going to live forever. Amen? You're going to be immortal. But you are immortally alive in Jesus Christ. You have eternal life with Jesus Christ because of what he did. And well, by the way, God loved us so much, you remember this scripture, don't you? That he allowed Christ to come. He sent Christ. He sent Christ down, or gave his son to be your sin offering on the cross. Now, here's an interesting thing. He didn't do it for the children of Israel. He didn't do it for all the Irish, and God knows the Irish need to be saved. Amen? You do know the truth about the Irish, don't you? The truth about the Irish was they invented whiskey. God allowed them to invent whiskey so they wouldn't take over the world. Let that sink in a little bit, will you? Thus, the Irish have never taken over the world. They're too stinking drunk. You know what I'm saying? But anyway. So, what Christ has done, and based on what Christ has already completed and accomplished, through Him, God is able to forgive us of our sins and make us brand new creations. You know what the thrill of being a Christian is? Is to see what He has in store for you today. Amen? I guarantee you that none of you have received this service the same. Every one of you have been touched by the Holy Spirit this morning. At least you acknowledged that this morning when I asked you. Did you sense the Spirit? Yeah. Well, every one of you received that differently. Why? Because Jesus Christ personalizes His work in your life to meet you and your personality. One of the ways you can know that a religion or a former religion or whatever is really of God or not is how they treat Jesus Christ. You're a cult. You're in a cult. If they try to control you, am I making sense? They try to control you, and they may use some truth about Christ to get that across to you. But most of them want to get in control of your life. You think of some cults that you can think of. Manson down in California. He was the leader of a cult. And he began the cult by talking about Jesus. But Jesus don't give you orders to go butcher people. Am I with you? Are you with me? Is that? Oh, I'm sorry. That's too harsh for some of you adults. You've been sheltered in church so long that when I talk about maniacs, you get disturbed. Snowflakes. Think about that. Jim Jones. Anybody know about him? Preached a gospel message. Talked about Jesus and controlled the people. You see, Jesus does not control us. He gives you free will to choose to follow Him and serve Him. And you need to understand what that means. That means responsibility. That means if you're going to be a new creation, you're going to be responsible for walking in that new life. In fact, it's so important that the scripture I read for you talks about after this has happened in your life, that you become ambassadors just like Paul was an ambassador to the Corinthian church. And is writing these letters to them to correct their thinking because they're so excited about spiritual things that they're not even experiencing the real Spirit of God. And so Paul is trying to let them know, listen, this is not the message. The message we gave to you is this, that you're a new creature in Christ. You don't go back and do the things you used to do. There used to be a song like that, I think, back in the old days. I don't go where I used to go. I don't do what I used to do. It's a good song. Old song, you've probably forgotten it and don't remember it, but it's a good song. The message is a good song. I don't go to those places anymore. Why do I not go? Because I'm living a brand new life. And this brand new life far outweighs any kind of joy or peace or happiness that I did not get when I was living the other way. Did anybody remember what they used to be? Please don't be like the guy that goes and looks in a mirror. Remember that scripture? And after he looks and sees what he is, he turns and walks and forgets exactly what he saw. What that means is that what Christ has done in you should be the kind of living that is an ambassadorship for Christ. You represent Christ. Amen? And so you have these ideas that, okay, this is good to do. That'll represent Christ. This is not so good to do, but I really like doing this, but it's not such a good thing to do, but man, I get so much pleasure out of this. No. I should, that would not please Christ. That's the battle. Am I right? That's the battle every one of us go through. Every single one of us go through. Some of you have been so worldly, you got a bigger variety than other people have got, but nevertheless, this is the struggle. Do I want what I want? Or do I want the new life that Jesus Christ has given me? Saints, it needs to be a new life every day. It needs to be birthed in you every day. You need to follow and embrace the new creation every day. You know this. This is not rocket science. But what it is something to confirm in you that if you follow after Christ and recognize that He's the one that brings new things into your life every single day, your life will be a good ambassadorship. You will represent Christ. And by the way, you may not realize this, and I know this is old stuff, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You may not realize this, but these people watching you. And you may not think they're watching you, but you can be on a job site. I've been on job sites before. And thank God I got some of this new creation thing going for me because, it'd be nothing worse than being on a job and start cussing out somebody out and another guy who came to your church last week and you didn't see him is in the back row back there hiding somewhere and he heard you talking like that. What do you think he's going to think? So isn't it a good thing I don't do that? May not be for you, but it is for me. It's a good thing. First of all, I don't want God striking me dead with lightning bolts right there on the job. You know what I'm saying? But I walk pretty comfortably in that. Not self-righteously or anything like that, but I walk pretty comfortable knowing that God helps me. And I have had people come up to me on the job. I didn't know them, but they come up to me on the job and say, "Hey, aren't you the pastor of that squirrely church down in Zilla?" I said, "You hit it right on the head. That's my people. We're squirrels, man." And out of the blue, I don't even know these people. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, thank you, Jesus, for the new life you give me every single morning when I rise and I read your word and I try to get close to you and meditation and prayer and those kinds of things. And then my wife gets up and renews my coffee and we start talking about the Lord and all those wonderful things that we go through. And we come into agreement about the day. My wife prays for me every day. Pray, God, help that kid. Help that boy, Lord. Somebody help that boy. But it's the new life that comes from that that helps me make it through the day and make it through the day without stumbling flat on my face when a stranger that I don't even know walks up to me and starts talking to me about church and about Christ. Now, I'm not silent by any means on any job. It's not long before they know. You know how they know it? Let me tell you. I haven't even got through the introduction, so you don't care. This is what's interesting. Somebody will come up to you, you don't even know who they are, and they'll know who you are. Yeah. And they'll start talking to you about Christ, and you start talking to them about Christ. And you suddenly realized that morning while you were praying and affirming and your wife was praying, "Oh God, help him," you know, she's on her knees begging God to help you, that God was setting you up for a divine appointment.
Yes, yes.
He wanted you to be at a certain place at a certain time and represent Christ in a certain way. And you know what's really cool? I mean, embrace what I'm about to tell you. It is so cool that God uses you just as you are. Well, none of us are perfect, but we're striving to be new every day. But your personality, your past experiences and all that makes you who you are today, God needs you. He needs you right here at this time. Because this guy's going to come up and talk to you. He may be going through a situation at home. His life may be falling all apart and all those kinds of things. And somehow he's drawn to you, may know you from some situation or whatever, and begins out of the blue. I'm here throwing mud on a wall, and this guy suddenly starts talking about church and Jesus Christ. You don't think you need to be ready? You need to be ready every moment. You need to be living new because that new is what draws people to you for those divine appointments. And believe me, it's so important because you just do not know how you're going to affect people. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, you guys got to stop being fanatics because when the people come in outside, they hear about your church and want to see what's going on. When they come into the house of God, they got to see some normal people there enjoying Christ and having great joy in their heart as they express their worship and praise to the Lord. Am I touching it? And so not only were we supposed to be Christians in church, it'd be a good thing if we all acted like a Christian, wouldn't it? But we need to be on guard at all times, ready at all times, living new, living large in Christ every day because you just don't know what the day holds and where God might need you to be a representative or an ambassador for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen? And here's the thing that's awesome. With the fact that you realize that you are a new creation, a representative and all of that, don't let the pressure of that bug you. Let that be a confirming thing for you, because it should let you know that God has got his hand on you, and God has a purpose is overused, but it's true. But God has a plan, yes, for you. But you know what's the most exciting thing? God could tell you, hey, I'm gonna start a Bible college over in Zimbabwe with you. You know where the excitement of that is? Oh, yeah, when you finally get there and things start happening. Yeah, that's exciting. You know what's exciting to me about the whole thing? Is the process of getting there. Amen? How you get there. Because on the way, there's going to be a lot of trials and tests and all those kinds of things are going to come. But how you win the victory, how you live new, how you live in power, how you live in the Spirit, how you live in relationship with the Lord, that's the exciting thing you learn all along the pathway of being a new creation and living large in Christ. And not only does that honor God, but it brings great honor to you.
Yes.
Let me be honest with you. Well, I've not been lying all up to this point, but let me emphasize that this is a good point. This is a very honest point. This is a powerful point. You know, as a church, you have no idea what the reputation of this church is in this town. And I'm not saying it's universal, but I've had people in this town that don't attend this church come up and brag about you in this church. Do you know how proud that makes me as the pastor? It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Christ. But you know how proud it is? You feel pretty good. You know, you moms, dads, husbands, wives, feels pretty good when somebody compliments your husband or your children or whatever. I was at the ball game last night with Dave Goss and that maniac Grubinoff. God, those guys know how to cheer. But I'm there, and I'm listening to all the parents. You want to know how parents feel about their kids? Go to a basketball game, a high school basketball game. They are the best referees. and they know the best strategy and best plays. Come in the back. You can hear them talking. Come in the back door. Watch the back door. Boom, there they are up for a layup or something like that. You can hear the pride in those parents. There's a lady sitting next to me, and I'm you know how shy I am. I'm sitting on this row. She's like one row up here. And I'm so shy. I just wanted to just kind of get connection with her a little bit because she was yelling in my ear. And she's yelling instruction. Now, if you've ever been to it doesn't matter what, but there's people are cheering and yelling. The basketball players, let me let you know something, folks. They don't have a clue what you're saying. To them, it's just a drone because they're in the game. They're not out there in bleachers. And this lady's, because sweep in the back door, rebound, rebound, giving all this instruction to these kids they don't hear you. They don't hear his name. And so you're giving all this instruction. So I tapped her on the leg and I said, ma'am, are you going to yell like this all night? And I thought, you know how I love blowing people's minds. Anyway, kind of hang around me sometime. You'll figure it out. And I said, are you going to be yelling like this all night? And she looks at me and she goes, well, yes, I may have to. And I said, well, okay, that's all right. And for a minute, they come down the court again, coming toward the hoop, coming down there. And it was a girls' game, and they take a shot or something like that. And she couldn't hold it. She was real quiet for a minute. It was classic. I just loved it. And all of a sudden, man, she couldn't hold it anymore. She started yelling louder, man. It was great. I just love doing things like that because you know how people are good. These people are proud of their, I think she had a daughter in the game or somebody in the game, and she was just excited and giving instruction and rooting everybody else on and all that kind of stuff. It's more fun to watch the people in the stands because there's a guy, Dave knows the guy's name. He's about two or three seats down. He's sitting right next to Grubinoff. This guy's brutal. Those referees, he was calling every play and yelling out what a bum referee is. I'm just sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, these people are brutal, man. And I'm just thinking to myself, praise the Lord, I'm not a referee. Because it's not a safe occupation, man. Oh, and by the way, they did make some blunder calls last night. And I let them know quietly. Oh, man. But you can see the pride. And it's an awesome thing as a pastor. when people compliment you based on the people that attend this church. And you need to know that. I hear it, but I don't always get an opportunity or take the opportunity to share that. But you should know what people in this community think about you. They have a very positive thing. You think that didn't mean something to the city of Zillow when you painted City Hall? Of course it did. We're the ones remembered for painting City Hall. And there's a lot of other things. That's just one that popped in my mind, but think about it. It's living large for Christ, living that new creation out, that causes people to remember the good things that you've done and give honor to the Father in heaven. Amen? It's not that you have to preach to everybody on the street corner. You can if God calls you to do that. That's not a problem. I've done it. Most Christians have done some form of that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those little things that show you or show others that you are a different person. And I can tell you something else. You can go to a basketball game and you can cheer as a Christian or you can cheer as an old man. And people notice the difference in how you root a team on, especially a high school game. Man, it's a brutal place. It's just it's a bloodletting place. And man, it's fun to watch it. But I'm a little weak at heart because some of those guys are really torturous. But think about that. Think about now how God thinks about you when you're living new every day. Because when you're living new every day, He's able to pour Himself into you, help you dodge bullets, turn left here, miss a car wreck. All kinds of things God does for you. And sometimes He lets you go through some harsh things because there's something in you He's not really liking and it doesn't match up to new life, a new creation. And if you've been a new creation for a long time, it's no different today than it was when you first became a Christian. It's a new thing every day. And that's the excitement of being a Christian. What is Christ going to do with my life today? How am I going to live out my new creation experience today? Salvation should not be years ago when you found Christ. Salvation should be alive and well right now, today, in your heart. Amen? And so I want to just encourage you this morning. It's just a wonderful thing that Christ has done in your personal life. And it's continuing to do. Some of you are coming into more maturity in areas, and some of you are still, you know, not as mature as, and I'm one of those. I'm not as mature. Someday I hope to grow up and be a good, mature person, but I'm not in a hurry to get there. So I'm going to probably be nuts for most of my life. And I like that. There's just a certain amount of peace that comes with being crazy. And being a Christian, you're living a life and people may not know what's going on in your life all the way around there, but they know there's something different about you. I like that. We're called peculiar in one place in King James Version. I don't mind that. I like to be a little different and cause people to stop for a second and notice that there's something different about how you're living, the example you're setting, and the ambassadorship you're fulfilling from the kingdom into you and from you into the world. Do you not think the world needs a light shining, an ambassador from heaven to be shining and pointing the right direction for everyone? Yeah, absolutely. I'm closing with this. I'm reading a neat book my wife bought me. It's called Is It the End by Dr. Jeremiah. And the first part of the book I'm reading, I've only got into it a little ways because I was reading another book and finally got it done and then I'm into this one. And he's listing all the statistics and then the areas in which these statistics are affected. It's a gloomy picture, folks. It lists the misconceptions of, the evolution of evolution, the evolution of all the dark humanistic philosophies that have risen and affect our culture today, or the whole world for that matter. And what not only does he mention those things, but he gives the statistics of the effect of those things over this many years, how the mindset of people that may be a Christian nation like America, but how they have embraced the old ways. See, humanity humanism and those kinds of things are nothing more than a religion that worships man rather than God. And because of that, our culture goes the way of all flesh rather than the way of God and His approval and His blessings. And so that's why Christianity today is being marginalized by a lot of people and not even regarded. And the fear of God does not exist in a lot of areas in our culture. They don't think that there are any consequences. And yet, can I just say one thing about that? AIDS. High rate of murder. Suicide. You tell me there's no effects to that religion? Absolutely there are. But I don't know of too many Christians that go around killing people. I'm sorry, they don't. And so we're not as violent as people think we are or want to compare us to. But this I know. He lists a very famous, this is what I want to close with. He lists a very famous, he's a musician, but he wrote a lot of show tunes. You may know him by the name of Cole Porter. Anybody ever hear of him? Well, Cole Porter used to go to church. Used to go to the Baptist church with his mom. But he didn't get much out of it. In fact, he thought church was just his mom going and showing off her new hat at church kind of thing, you know. It didn't mean anything. And so he grew up with an absence of God in his life and an absence of any kind of authority and any of that kind of structure in his life. By the way, we all need structure. And the Bible is completely filled with good, wholesome structure. But Cole Porter was a sham. He wrote a lot of tunes for Frank Sinatra and a lot of other great artists. But his life was just one long party. He got married to a lady, and I don't remember her name, but he got married to this lady, and it was just for show. It was his show wife. So if he went into certain arenas, play his music or whatever, or write new tunes or whatever, very wealthy, extremely wealthy, had four homes, one in California, New York, I think Florida and somewhere else. Just had everything in the world that we think we would like to have, wealth and fame and fortune and all that going along with it. But this facade that he let everybody see, that he was some, you know, popular, and he was, and well-known, nobody knew his secret life. He was really a gay man in a time when nobody acknowledged being gay. And it was ruining his life. I mean, literally, physically killing him, the life that he was living. And when he was in the hospital as a result of his lifestyle, the nurse came to him and was asking all these questions and asking what religion he was. And he told her, "None. I have no religion." "Oh, then just Protestant, all right, to put down there?" He said, "No, none. I have no religion." And totally rejecting the whole idea of God and religion. And so just before he died, he instructed a friend of his to go and destroy all of his pornography. And then he died. Emaciated, empty, totally rejecting God from his life. Do you think that the way you live doesn't mean something? The way you live will end up in a certain way. And the reason Dr. Jeremiah was mentioning this is because how he was emphasizing how phony the hope and the promises that the world offers you and that you pursue after. And it leads you to darkness and emptiness, emaciation, and death. And yet, if you serve Jesus Christ and live new every day, all of those old ways have no effect on you any longer. Is that making any sense? Let me close. John, did you want to say something?
Yeah, that song, Cole Porter's song, is Anything Goes.
Anything Goes, and that's the way he lived. Exactly. Good point. Thank you, John. Thank you very much so. So I'd like you to stand, not with that, I guess that's going to be on your mind because I mentioned that, but it's a comparison to what it means when Jesus changes your life. You have a choice. Do you want to live large with Christ in a brand new creation? Or do you want to be depressed for the rest of the day because I told you that story? I choose the new creation. I want to walk in fullness of life, fullness of joy. I want to walk every day brand new, learning how to apply all of that to this day. This day, I will serve the Lord, and I will live in joy and in peace, and I will honor and I will represent Christ. The old man is dead. Let him stay in the grave, would you? In fact, in this verse here, he tells you, you be reconciled with God. Well, if we know Christ, we're reconciled. But what he's talking about is you choosing. We've already given you the message. You've abused it and gone crazy with it. Choose to be reconciled. What's the most important thing in our lives, here and in heaven? What is it? That we have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And with that comes new life. Some of us ain't been living new for a while. Some of us have been depressed. And I'm going to tell you what, with all the snow and all the overcast, I've been a little spongy myself. But what hope and glory there is in serving Jesus Christ. And the process is exciting. Something new every day. Every day becomes exciting with Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you, if you're solid in Christ, you've got new creation bones and new creation blood and new creation everything. You're a brand new creature in Christ. Live like it. Live like you're brand new, that you're no longer the old man you were. Live fresh and alive and live large in Christ. And you will be reconciled with God. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and close. Father, thank you for the encouragement of the new life. It is awesome. It is what we possess is what everyone in the world needs, and not everyone in the world will accept. But I have, and these folks have, accepted this new life in Christ Jesus. And I'm so grateful for what Christ did and is doing. It's not a past tense thing. It is an I am God. God is the God of the present, and God is the God of the living. And we have been made alive in Jesus Christ. I want to live that way. I want to live excited. I want to live joyful and peaceful and powerful in Jesus Christ. I want to be a good ambassador. I want to take pride in the things that you've done. And I want to glorify you for what you've done in me. And I want to glorify you for what you've done in this church and everyone who's sitting here today. You have been a good God and a great Savior. And you deserve our full attention and our faithfulness. And in that, Lord, we honor you and we receive the benefits of a new life. I'm new today. I'm brand new. And tomorrow I'll be newer. And I want to bless you for that, Lord, this today. Give you praise. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.